Four mics, five people, per segment.
And four boxing gloves. MMX technology, now, when is MMX due to hit? And actually, first maybe we should mention what MMX is all about.
Please.
Okay, MMX, probably Steve already knows, as he's pointed out.
Yes, but...
basically does for this for multimedia, I suppose, what the Mass Coprocessor did for mathematics. In other words, it's a internal CPU enhancement to make your multimedia run bigger, brighter, better, and faster. We're talking about video, speech, graphics, animation, all that kind of stuff, of course. Now, what's it really all about? The MMX constitutes 57 new instructions inside the CPU. So basically what they're talking about is that the Intel CPU is no longer going to be just a standard Intel CPU. You will have two types of Intel CPUs, Pentium CPUs. The Pentium Pro, apparently they haven't got MMX up and going in the Pentium Pro yet, but there are plans to have it in there. So that's actually a little bit strange, but interesting. And when's it actually due to be released? Apparently around, well, as the Americans say, first quarter or whatever it is, March 97.
I was actually reading about the MMX thing because it is something that gamers are very, very much looking forward to because it's going to represent a quantum leap in speed and it's certainly going to help big time with graphics applications. And like, is it 56 parallel pathways you're going to be able to run data down rather than 8? Is that what it is?
That they didn't mention. What they're talking about is 57 new special instructions inside the processor.
That's right, yeah, rather than 8. That's what it was. I read a thing about it, but someone turned their phone off. But what I was going to say is, why are they...
radio too.
Yeah, shocking, isn't it? What I was trying to get to say was, God, was if you've upped it to 56 instructions, why not just up it to 100? I mean, they've drawn a sort of a line in the sand for no apparent reason there.
But Pro does all they want to do, I suppose. It's a bit like Windows, you know, with your video graphics accelerator cards.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that argument does all they want it to do. I mean, IBM thought with the standard conventional memory at 640K they were going to be getting all we wanted to do. So.
I think one thing we can be guaranteed is that firstly we don't know what we really want to do, and secondly that they'll probably be a new revision out in probably 6 months.
Oh, no.
As one of the presenters at the Intel dealer briefing actually pointed out, when people said, well, how likely is the ATX, you know, the new motherboard format likely to be around, you know, a long time, a lifetime or whatever, and they sort of indicated that really a year is a very long time in the computer industry.
So start laughing now. Thank you, though.
Very good, Duncan. We wanted that. Okay, the other thing is that the voltages required for these CPUs will actually be different. You're going to need to plug in the special voltage regulator for which your motherboard might have accommodation for already. I think that's the VRE voltage regulator.
Mm.
And for those who've got Pentium CPUs already...
That's me. I've got one. We've got them all.
That's right. What are you going to do? Is it going to be the same price? Are they going to be obsolete?
And it's not going to fit in the same stock.
And all those kinds of issues. Okay, firstly... We are told that there will be a price difference between the MMX enhanced CPUs and the non-MMXs to encourage the adoption as an option over the standard CPUs. So there will actually be a price difference between the standard CPUs. The standard CPUs won't really be obsolete, so they do still have a kind of a market value. So I think people who are going to be buying this MMX enhanced processor are going to have that specific requirement for high-end graphics work, presumably.
Mm, sounds good.
Okay, other stuff that I thought was quite interesting was that Intel are still pushing their motherboards, and for those who are interested, the word is really that, no, we don't really want to be in the motherboard business and take over the world in motherboards. Believe it if you wish, don't believe it if you don't. I don't want to take sides there. But it's interesting that they only give you a one-year warranty on their motherboards. And the other thing that was interesting is actually a new facility on their VS440FX Pentium Pro motherboard, which has a facility called Power On COM1 On Ring, which basically means that the CPU will come alive if you've got a modem connected on the COM1 port, not COM2, which is a bit strange, but anyway, and it'll actually bring the PC alive. So if you want to use it as a bulletin board or a fax answering thing or something like that, which I thought was quite ingenious. Their PR...
It's something that's long overdue, really.
It is, actually. In fact, we actually made up an external box for this kind of thing about 5 or 6 years ago when your modem rings...
50 grand,
yeah. No, it was a few hundred dollars, but anyway. Also, dual Pentium Pro there. Series is due to be released in March 97.
What does that mean, though? 400 megahertz?
Well, remember, you know, we talked about this dual Pentium Pro motherboard, which we've actually been selling quite actively, the tie-in boards. Well, Intel are going to have in March 97. Oh, but getting back to the point about their motherboard strategy, it's basically aimed at promoting and introducing new technology like these faster CPUs quickly. So Intel are saying we do these motherboards with the chipsets, etc., so that we can get product to market and acceptance quickly, and then we sort of tend to pull out fairly quickly as well once the stuff's gained acceptance and matured. The other thing I thought was interesting was Universal Serial Bus. Now, a lot of people have been talking about Universal Serial Bus. It was quite interesting. Now, the specification that they talked about allows 63 devices to be daisy-chained basically serially off your PC.
Mm.
And the standards are frightening. The first standard is 10 to 100 kilobits per second for low bandwidth applications such as joysticks, telephones, keyboards, etc. Then there is a second standard of 500 kilobits per second up to 10 megabits per second. Then there is now, believe it or not, a new standard called IEEE 1394 and 1394.2, which is going to bring the universal serial bus standard right up to 50 to 1,000 megabits per second for high bandwidth applications such as LAN cards, video, digital, everything. And
who comes up with these stupid bloody designations and acronyms for this stuff? There must be like some guy sitting in office going, oh, I feel like I's and E's.
I mean, it's well, IEEE is International Electronic Engineering or something.
I saw a guy driving down Punt Road there with another plate, IEEE. That guy must be
freak cake.
Yeah, one of my customers has got Spark. But I quite like
long, hard look at yourself in the mirror, man.
On his white Mercedes.
On his white Mercedes, even better.
That's right. Now, I thought this was all quite interesting and actually asked if there were actually any products really hitting the market with this universal serial bus stuff. And despite these three standards and these higher, ever-increasing speeds, well, you might have guessed that Intel don't actually have a universal serial bus product, and neither is there really any great push in the market from pushing
anything at all.
But I think universal serial bus is good. I reckon go for it. Imagine serial SCSI and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it'll be great. I love it.
Vaporware.
Just out of interest, I mean, obviously this will tie into things like FireWire, Ultra SCSI, all these things. I mean, they're just going for higher speed, higher bandwidth. What's happened to them?
I don't know, and it'll actually be interesting because they're talking about with this universal serial bus integrating all your consumer electronics like maybe VCRs and TVs and all
microwaves
kinds of stuff into your computer.
Fridge.
Now, 200 megahertz CPUs that you were talking about, the heat issue. Right. Now, the maximum 200 megahertz Pentium CPU is happening. The official release date was the 1st of November 96, talking to one of the local official Intel distributors a week ago. The due date was the 12th of the 11th, 96 for any stock, so hey, maybe there's even some out there. Now, the maximum allowable temperature is still 70 degrees Celsius, as before. For those that are technically interested about obsolescence of their motherboards, it still uses a 66 megahertz bus, so you should be able to stick this into your standard motherboard and make it, you know, multiply up to the 200 megahertz, whatever. It's going to look totally different. The 200 megahertz CPU is not like, you know, 150 or 60 meg ceramic CPU and sort of they just crank the speed up. No, no, no. It actually comes in what they call a new package called a plastic pin grid array, PPGA, so another acronym for it. And the package is in fact a printed circuit board. It's not ceramic at all. And it's got a heat spreader in the middle of the chip. Sounds like it's similar to what it was before when they had that gold hump in the middle. And the on-package...
Is that a technical talk thing?
Yeah, that's sort of like a technical thing for a lump. It's a hump. They actually have capacitors on the package itself to reduce signal noise and, you know, cope with the high speeds and all that kind of stuff. So that's a bit of a lowdown on the 200 megahertz CPU. We haven't seen a price on it yet and whatever. Now, the other interesting thing that I picked up was the fact that there was a mention of plug-and-play. Yes, we all know plug-and-play.
Oh, hang on, plug-and-pray.
Plug-and-pray, sir. version 1.0A. So just as you thought it was all plug-and-pray, you better come up with a new prayer. apparently they have tightened up the standard on plug and play. Who knows what the backward compatibility will be with sound cards, LAN cards, all the other stuff that's plug and play. Now, let's face it, it came out pretty quickly and it probably was a little bit green. And basically what they're saying is, look, they've tightened up the standards a little bit. For example, the ATI graphics cards, apparently, don't quote me on that, but this is what they said, they use an IO location, HEX 2E8, which of course is COM4 normally. And the 1.0A, you know, redefine things like that to keep 2E8 free and whatever. Pentium prices, for those who are interested, we've been finding in the last few weeks the prices have remained unbelievably resilient. They don't seem to have dropped, you know, in the normal course of what you normally expect.
It's because it's Christmas time, that's why.
Well, not only that, I think, but they actually said that it's been a bit of an experiment to actually retain the prices for an extra quarter. Apparently it is a little bit unusual, so I don't know quite really what they meant by that, but the point is that apparently the prices are actually likely to remain fairly stable now until the start of next year.
I almost believe you. I almost believe you.
Because 4 months is also a long time in the computer cycle. And on that little note, I think we'll finish off, and that'll be it from me. We didn't talk about sound cards and sound blasters and the differences yet. Maybe if you're still alive, we'll do that, God willing.
Well, mate, you can cut the geek speak with a knife in here, bloody into it. We're rapidly running out of time. But before we leave, we have a couple of giveaways, or three giveaways.